May be seated. Just a very short word from Psalm 139 about the sanctity of life. When does life start? But at the time of conception, and there's DNA material from the male and female, and they are the fetus happens, and in Psalm 139 it says, "Your eyes did, verse 16, did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in your book all my members were written." Speaking about my physical body in the beginning, when you have the fetus, and in the book all my members are written. I like to think of the DNA, the book of DNA for you. Your DNA is unique. Nobody has ever been you. You are unique. And all of our members are written in that book. And so we believe that life starts then, when you have the seed, and that miracle of life happens. And then the development in the womb and a baby growing and developing, and it is sacred, the sanctity of life. It's sacred. It's precious. It's to be protected. It's to be honored. It's to be respected. And we see what's happening in our world. So we are a voice, and we must carry in our hearts some conviction about it and think about it and have a voice. Have a voice about it in your heart from God. What does God say about that baby, about that child in the womb? What does God say about it? He would say, protect it, honor it, respect it. It's a miracle. It's a work of grace. All the members of that fetus are written in my book. And it says here, which in continuance were fashioned, which means they're developing. The liver, the brain, the nerve cells, the bones are continually developing. And it says, when there was none of them. Even before you could see it, it was developing in all the parts of the human body. So tonight, after the service tonight in classroom two, anyone interested in a discussion and a presentation, we have Dan Miller's going to share with us, Pastor Jason is going to be with us, and anybody interested in that subject, sanctity of life, can come to service tonight, and after the service, in classroom two, we'll have a session together and pray together and think together and understand the subject a little more and see what we can do about it. We must have a voice. In our society, if we are passive and indifferent, we'll suffer. Turn to Proverbs with me, and I'll finish with this. Pontius Pilate was put under a lot of pressure in John 19 when he found no fault with Jesus. Three times he said, "I find no fault with him." And Pilate wanted to move Jesus along, like not crucify him. He said, "I find no fault with him." And he wanted Jesus to move along, he didn't want to crucify him. He didn't want to. We could read that, but look at chapter 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And it is true. When we have righteous people making righteous decisions, not political decisions, but righteous decisions, that's an important difference. People move politically, like Pilate, Pontius Pilate made a political move to please the Jews, and he crucified Christ. He sacrificed Christ for a political reason. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. We'll speak today about that subject, because you are spiritual. Because you are spiritual, you are righteous. Because you are righteous, you may not go with the crowd. You may not go with the crowd. Depends what crowd it is. I'm not going with that crowd. I do not agree. I'm not going there, because you are righteous. That's important. You are righteous. This is important. You are a righteous person. You have the Holy Spirit in you. So when the righteous are in authority, we rejoice in that, because it's bigger than us. It's the righteousness of God. But then it says, verse 2, but when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. Why? We are sad because we don't know what will happen. That things will shift with the colors of the wall, like a chameleon will change color. Things will move, like maybe in a way we didn't expect, because the wicked are ruling and we are mourning, because there's some suffering. When Rome crucified Jesus, that was the world making a judgment. And we're like, wow, he's a righteous man. He's an innocent man. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. We are killing an innocent man. We are sad. We mourn. So what are we to do in this world? Be spiritually minded. We'll teach about it this morning and have a good service by God's grace. Lord Jesus, we feel sometimes the church, we have been passive or indifferent, but this is not the time to be like that. We must be awake. We must be alert, engaged. We must follow you and trust you. We must be informed. We must be awake. We must have some conviction in our hearts. That's why we are gathered here this morning. In Jesus' name. Bless us. Amen. You know, some people are at the health club. Do you know where they need to be today? Right here. You know, some people are on a soccer field with their kids. You know where they need to be? Right here. Some people are taking a long nap. You know where they need to be? Right here. You know why? I will tell you why in a few minutes, okay? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I rejoice when the righteous rule. We're going to read a text today and teach on how there are people that are not believers think differently from us. Okay, people that are not believers. So there's two chapters that are very similar in what I want to say I can use. I used 1 Corinthians 2 at the 9 o'clock service, and it was awesome. But I think we'll do Romans 8 with this sermon. And we will go verse by verse for a while, and you will follow it with me. And I want to really make an emphasis on the fact that the Apostle Paul, who is writing this chapter 8, is really speaking about you. Romans 7 is also about me, when I would do what I shouldn't do, when I do what I shouldn't do. Can you give an example of that? I do what I shouldn't do, what I shouldn't do. All right, so turn to your neighbor, give an example. Guard yourself, don't make a confession necessarily, but in principle, what I shouldn't do, what I shouldn't do. what I shouldn't do. I shouldn't do what I shouldn't do. What about a believer? I shouldn't do, but that's what I do. But I do it, okay? That's a problem. What I shouldn't do, that's what I do, okay? So this is Romans 7. And then he moves on and tells us who we really are. Who we really are. Like who you really are, your identity as a person. This is a incredible truth that you are not your sin. Amen. Who you are, what it means to be saved. You have the Spirit of God, and you think in a different way from the unbeliever. So we're going to look at chapter 8 and verse 2. We'll start from there. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's a higher law. There's a law of life that sets me free from another law. Now, there's a good example of the law of gravity. There's a law of gravity, but there's another law. And there's a law of aerodynamics regarding the shape of an airplane wing. And if the speed of the air under the wing is faster than the air over the top, there's a lift. And the airplane lifts, defying the law of gravity. So that's an example of one law ruling over another one, but they're both real. And the law of sin and death is a real law. But the law of Christ is a real law. And the law of Christ has set me free from the other law. This means you and I have a new life. We have a new life now. We are born again, regenerated, and children of God. We are adopted into his family. We have the Spirit of God in us. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, always remember this. You may be growing as Christians. Maybe this is not so clear to you, but you need to learn this, that you are by nature, you and I are legalistic and demanding of ourselves certain things by law. But the law cannot do what the Spirit does. The law cannot do it. The law cannot do it. Illustration, a mirror. You look in a piece of glass as a mirror, and it shows you your face is dirty. What is a mirror can't do? The mirror cannot wash your face. A mirror will show you your face is dirty, but it cannot change your face. Okay? The law, it doesn't have so much value. It only condemns us and finds our fault and says you are a sinner. Well, I know I am a sinner. Can you help me out? No, I can't do a thing for you. You are a sinner. That's the law. But the gospel is Christ. Christ is beyond the law. Christ is higher. Christ is God. Christ can wash your face. Christ can live in your heart. Christ changes our lives. Christ is a higher law than the law of sin and death. Okay? Jesus. That's what this church is about. It's about Jesus. Do you know that there are people here? They would love it if I would preach legalistically. They have told me, you know, you got to be stronger. You got to tell us the right and the wrong. And I say to them, you have it written in your heart. You need something more. You need the Holy Spirit, and you have it. We have it. We're going to read it in a minute. But I don't want to go to a church that's legalistic. What good is that? That makes me either proud, and I have a good impression on people, but I'm not real. I mean, I'm not real. I'm maybe hypocritical. I do one thing on the outside, but inside I'm miserable. I don't have any joy. I don't have love. I cannot sacrifice. I cannot lay down my life for the brethren. I don't have any vision. I don't have any imagination regarding what God does. I'm wrapped up with myself, with the law. Okay, so go to verse 3. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law, okay. The righteousness of the law. Let's take the law, thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's take that law. Okay. What is the righteousness of the law? What is it? It's that even in my heart, I don't have any desire for that. It's not only that I don't do it, but even in my heart. Why? Because of love. Love. If you love people, you won't sin against them, right? If you love a family, you wouldn't divide the family. If you loved a person, you wouldn't treat them like that. If you have love, what's the righteousness of the law? It's coming from the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. And by the way, there is religious flesh that'll say, you shall not commit adultery. That's religious flesh. But there's also the Holy Spirit that'll say, You will not commit adultery, and I'm going to be living in you, so you're not going to. You're not going to be configured that way. Yeah, that'll not be your primary life. Your primary life will be God. Amen. The Holy Spirit will make God your primary life, the focus that you have. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Remember that phrase, mind your own business? Mind your own business. What does it mean? Don't pay attention to my business. You mind your own. You have it in your mind. What's in your mind? Are you mindful of the things of the flesh? Now, the flesh has two meanings. In our English Bible, when we see the word flesh, you can think of material flesh, like the body. The physical body is one word, soma. But it has another meaning, and it means the fallen nature of man. It's the sin nature that is in my body, but it's also in my soul and in my spirit. My spirit is dead, so I live in my sin nature. I am not spirit-filled, or I don't have the Holy Spirit in me. Now listen, we live in a world where there are many unbelievers, and unbelievers do not have the Holy Spirit. The unbeliever has another mind, and they mind the things of the fallen nature of man. If you say to them, do you believe in God? They say, no, I don't believe in God. Or, yeah, maybe there is God, or, you know, but I don't. Do you ever think about God? No, I don't ever think about it. Because why? Because the fallen nature of man doesn't think about God. Well, yes, he has God, but he's like a step away or a few steps away or far away. But it's not his primary. But religious flesh can study theology, can talk philosophy, can be religious, but they don't know God. They are of the flesh. It happened during the time of Jesus. You had Pontius Pilate that didn't know God, and you had the Jewish religious leaders who had religious flesh and were proud, and they demanded that Christ would be crucified. So, who is Paul writing about here? He's saying that unbelievers mind the things of the flesh. They are worried about life. They mind the things. They think about it. They think about the future. They think about where the world. They worry. They are troubled. They think about their neighbors. They think about the university that they go to, their teachers, their friends. They are anxiety. They have fears about getting on an airplane. They travel. They're worried about it. They mind the things regarding disease and death, like it happens to all of us, but they don't think. They just think it's not going to happen to me. I hope it doesn't happen to me. I hope this will never happen to me. They mind the things that come in our hearts from the fallen nature of man. That's what they think about all the time. All the time. They think about it from the news. They talk about it with their friends. They have a very horizontal life without a vertical. They don't have the Spirit of God. I don't know how to explain this more simply. It's just the way this is what it's saying. That they are, actually, you could say, they are in trouble. They are in trouble. They go to bed, and there's something that they can't have, they can't find. It's like the woman at the well in John 4, when she talked to Jesus. She said to Jesus, the well is very deep and you have nothing to draw with. And I've always thought about that, meaning this. Regarding people, the well is very deep. You can't even go there. Like, what's going through the mind of a person? The woman has had 5 husbands. You could say, actually, her life is filled with complications and deep thoughts and feelings and hurts and troubles and broken relationships and a broken heart. You could say the well is very deep. And Jesus answered her and said, if you ask me, I would ask the Father, and you would drink water, and you would never thirst again. I can fill that well. That's the kind of a way of thinking about it. I am enough because I am the Messiah. I am God. I am the Messiah. And I know you have had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband. I agree, the well is very deep, but I also want to say to you, I am the answer. Hallelujah. You know, that's amazing, isn't it? Go back to the text, it's chapter 8, verse, we'll go down a ways here in this text, verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind, or they're reference, their mental orientation has to do with the things of the fallen nature of man. And there's no end to that. It has to do with those things of fear, of guilt, of anxiety. How about it has to do with the theory of evolution? Why would you talk about evolution if you love God? It's a good question. I talk about evolution because I don't believe that the world could have come into existence that way. It had to come some other way. Well, why do you believe that? Because my mind is based on unbelief. I don't believe. Well, what is your mind like? Well, I believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and I'm very happy with that idea. I'm very satisfied with that. It ministers to me. God told me that he created the heaven and the earth. That ministers to me. I enjoy that. Why would you enjoy that? Because the new birth has given us the spirit, and we have another mind. And in that mind, we are mindful of the things that God has said to us. We are mindful of the truth. We're mindful of the nature of God, the reality of God. The Holy Spirit is in us. We'll go to verse 5. But they that are after the Spirit, we are mindful of the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded, and that's what an unbeliever is. I know that I've always read this text for a carnally minded. A Christian is carnally minded. But the context is actually, and you can check this out with Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who teaches it this way. And I do believe this, and I enjoy thinking about it, that this the unbelievers that we go to school with, that we work with, they are carnally minded or naturally minded, and that mind is really one of questions. It's one of insecurity. It's one of fear. It's one where I don't have the real answers. I don't have it. It's the nature of the fall. I don't have it. It's like Adam hiding from God, covering himself, blaming his wife. Have you ever thought about how God said, "Who told you you were naked?" And he goes like, you know, I'm going to dramatize a little bit, you know. Oh, who told me? The woman over there that you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. Now notice the sentence. The woman. Okay, guys, mark it down in your notebook. It's my wife is the problem. My wife is the problem. My wife is the problem. Huh? And the woman, you, God is the problem. God is the problem. God gave me the woman. You gave, it started with you. You gave me that woman, and I ate. You know, I come last. Okay? But Jesus came. And he was betrayed. And Judas said, I betrayed the innocent blood. And if you think about that, Judas Iscariot lived with Christ for 3 years, walked with Christ. He saw Jesus. Do you think there was any time when Judas is trying to find fault with Jesus? Was Judas ever trying to catch him sinning? Could Judas say, you know, he told a lie. I caught him. He lied. He looked at a woman in a weird way or something, you know. Or where was he the other night? Judas definitely wanted to find fault with him because he was an unbeliever. But he couldn't. He said, I betrayed the innocent blood. I could not find anything wrong with Jesus Christ. Wow. Unbelievers, I think unbelievers struggle in many ways, and their way of life is really one of death. That's the problem in this life. It's not my wife, it's not God, it's me. I have sinned. I have sinned. That's the problem. Because you have the Spirit of God, then you have another mind. And I've seen that with you. I have seen it with my sisters and brothers through the years. I've seen it. I am amazed by the mind that we have. I have seen it. I've seen it in life. Let's read it. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, and that's you and me, that's the way it is by our new birth. We are spiritually minded, and it is life and peace. I don't need a group to condone, I don't need a group to support me. I'm fine. I've got life and peace from God. You don't need a support group like that. You don't need to wonder, is there likes or dislikes, you know, the social media, am I accepted or not? That is just an indication that you are carnally minded and you don't have life and peace. Because when you have life and peace, Proverbs 14, verse 10, you are satisfied in yourself. How do you get satisfied in yourself? By the new birth. How do you get born again? By believing in Christ, and you are justified. What happens when you're justified? Then you're sanctified. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is in you, and you have this capacity to think with God. You got a new heart, new mind. You have a new way of thinking. It's different. You see, it says in Proverbs, the fool makes a mock of sin. The fool mocks sin. But to the saint, sin is a big deal. If sin is a problem, I am not holy. I have sinned. Sin is devastating. Sin is destructive. Sin blinds my eyes. Sin doesn't know the way. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin, I don't see God anymore. I don't see God. I have sin. To us, that's a big deal. But to the world, it's a joke. They don't care about it. They don't ever want to hear about it. And don't ever blame me for it. And don't hold me responsible. That's the way they think in the world. And that's the carnal mind. And they get away with it. But they don't. They suffer. But you, and I've got to make this clear for you and I in the next verses. Let's read them. It says, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It doesn't just make a mistake. It's an enemy. Enmity is really from that word, enemy. I am an enemy of God. The unbeliever is an enemy. He's in rebellion. He picked up a AK-47 and he's got it as a rebel, pointed right at God and firing away at God. He's not making a mistake. He knows exactly. He is an enemy of God. He has another mind. He's against God. He doesn't talk about God, doesn't think about God. If he does, it's through his arrogance and his religious flesh. He has no idea, but you do. I got to get to that part. Verse 7. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's the sin nature of man. So then, they that are in the flesh, verse 8, cannot please God. So I don't try in my flesh. My flesh is not wired for pleasing God. My flesh isn't wired for pleasing God. I don't please God in our flesh, we don't. But here's the good news, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. What does it mean? The believer is in the Spirit. It's careful in how you hear this, but it's natural for the believer to be in the Spirit. It's the design of God. It's for us to be in the Spirit. It's normal for us to be. We are in the Spirit. By virtue of our new birth, we are in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. This is what happened to us. We started, by the grace of God, to love God. We started to worship. We started to listen. We started to actually listen. We had a revival in Finland like more than 40 years ago. I mentioned it this morning, and it was so amazing that we had a house with 10 people as missionaries, and the Finns wanted to move in because they were always asking questions and listening to preaching, and we were teaching a lot. And so we moved to like a hotel out in the countryside, and we started with 15 people, and we ended up with 70 people, like in a short time. People were moving from other cities in the country to be with us because they were spiritually hungry and learning things they had never thought about before. Those people, then we started a Bible school, and those people became pastors and missionaries. And this is 40 years ago. Where are they today? They are serving God. How did that happen? It's the Spirit of God. How could that? What do you mean they're serving God? They went to China as missionaries. They went to Thailand. They went to Honduras. They went to Eastern Europe. They went to Russia. They went to Azerbaijan. They went as missionaries to different countries. Yeah, but they got burnt out or the revival ended. No, it continues because we are people of the Spirit. We are looking for what is the Spirit saying. We have the mind of the Spirit. We are fed in the Spirit. We are interested in what the Spirit is doing. We are orientated, and we are waiting for the second coming of Christ. Why are we waiting for the second coming? Because we are of the Spirit. We are of the Holy Spirit. And another thing, we die really good. When it comes to dying, we're pretty good at it. I mean, we're ready to roll. Is it my time, God? Well, aren't you worried about it? Aren't you afraid? Maybe you're going to go to hell. Oh, no. The Spirit has been teaching me. The Spirit tells me that I'm not to fear, that the Lord is my shepherd. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, how did you get to think like that? Because the Holy Spirit thinks like that. Well, where do you get it? In the local church, where God has ordained for us to gather together in his name, and he will be there in our presence, and he will tell us things we have not seen with our eyes, we have not heard with these outer ears. It's never come from within our own heart, but it's revealed to us by the Spirit. And he has shown to us what is freely given to us through Christ. 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 9 and 10, and verses 12 and 13, which things we speak. Let's go to the next verse there. Verse 9. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, you know, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you should know that. There should be times when in your heart You should be drawn to worship. You should just be walking down the road and just feel in your heart, you just worship God and love Him. That's the Spirit of God in you. You should have that in your life. There should be times when you cry out, Abba, Father, when you are making up a song, or when you just want to be quiet before God. There should be times when you walk in the Spirit and you're behind the wheel in your car in a parking lot and just saying a simple prayer. There should be times. But if the Spirit is not in me, then I am none of His. Look at the verse. It says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Well, what does that mean? I'm not saved. If I don't have the Spirit of God, I don't belong to Him. I am none of His. I knew you not. I never knew you. I don't know you. But we've done many wonderful works in your name. We've called down, you know, we have, prophesied in your name, done many wonderful, but Jesus said, I never knew you. I never knew you. You're playing a game. You didn't come to me. You weren't trusting me. You fooled yourself. You deceived yourself. You were not before me confessing that you have sinned and that you need me. You're trusting in me. I'm the only answer for you. You have followed another God. You have another thing going on. And the fruit of your life is that you have been carnally minded your whole life. And you've not had this. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Meaning we will die like everybody else because our body has in it the sentence of death. But we will not die because our spirit and soul will leave our body and we will be with God. We will fly away in Psalm 90 and verse 10. We'll be in the presence of God. We'll be absent from the body. Later, the body is raised up by the power of Christ, Philippians 3, 20 and 21. He will say a word, the body will come up and be raised up, and that will be redeemed also. So I want to finish here and just say that you are a believer. Get used to it. You are a believer. It fits. You are a believer. You are different. One teenage boy said to his dad, I don't want to be different. And the father said, you are different. You are. You are in this family. You are different. We are Christians. You are a Christian. You are different. I don't want to be different. You are different. Get used to it. We are different. I don't want to go to church. We go to church. In our family, we go to church. We go to church. I don't want to go. Well, we go, and you'll benefit from it. What about abortion? I don't believe in that. I believe in saving the baby, saving the baby, saving the baby, saving the life, saving the life. I believe in that. Well, don't you know this and that? It's like, I don't care what you're saying. I don't care what you're talking about. I'm not mindful of that. I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking of a human life and their future. Can't they go to kindergarten or are you going to kill them? Can't they go to Boy Scouts? Can't they go to a church meeting? Can't they go to camp life? Can't they ride a bicycle? Can't they go to the school? Can't they get married one day? Why do you have to kill them? Why do you have to kill them before they are born? Why do you have to take away a life? Why do you do that? I've got my reasons. Well, a woman can sleep around and get pregnant and then just kill the baby because it's my body. It's like, it's more than your body. It's another person's life. And I'm not hard on them. The men are as guilty as women. We're all guilty. I don't care about that. I'm not wanting people to be condemned and I'm not making people victims. I'm just telling you the truth. Like, we gotta get adjusted to what it means to be Living in the Spirit of God. In the Spirit of God. Hey, I got a good question for you. What do you think about homosexuality? Why don't you go to God with it? Why don't you read about it? What does God say in the Bible? Why don't you read about it from God? Why doesn't the Holy Spirit teach you something about it? It's devastating. The diseases, the problems, the psychological problems, the different difficulties, and then we promoting it like fools. We are fools. Well, I'm not a fool. I am. I mean, I can guarantee you that. I am. We are. We are fools. But are you in the Spirit? Do you mind the things of the Spirit? Do you care? Here's another little one. There's a blind man, and he's walking towards a ledge. Okay, a blind man's walking towards a ledge, and he can see. But what does he say in his own heart? I'm going towards the ledge. What does he say in his heart? What do you think? He says, I can't get involved. That's his problem. If he goes over, I don't have any responsibility in this. The blind man, that's his problem. Okay, question. To be carnally minded, I am minding the things, other things. But to be spiritually minded is different. It's different. I'm spiritually minded. And you know what it means? I love that guy. I love that guy. He's blind. But his life means something. I love the guy. Hold it. You can't see, but I'm here as a friend. I got to tell you, wait. It's dangerous. You're going to fall. Okay? Think about it. What I am saying is very simple, and I want it to sink in your heart. If you are a Christian, you are different. If you are a Christian, you have something in you from the Holy Spirit. What's Pontius Pilate going to do? Pontius Pilate's going to feel the wind blowing. He's going to smell it in the air. He's going to make a decision. Crucify him. You crucify him. I find no fault with him. He washes his hands. Doesn't work. You are responsible, Pilate. You crucified him. You did it. No, I didn't. I washed my hands. Okay. We can play games all day long. You know. I know. And that's how. I want you folks and me, pray for me, all of us, to be salt and light and be different in this world. Listen, all you just let the evil people run all over us and just good people do nothing. Good people are just smelling the wind or feeling what's going on. There's a blind man going here. I can't do it. I didn't see anything. He looks the other way. I never saw it. I didn't see it. Yeah, you saw it. God knows you saw it, you saw it, but you got a problem because you don't have any love. You don't have any love. You don't have any joy. You don't have freedom. You don't have any courage. You don't have any conviction. You don't have any salt. You don't have any light. You're just some American Christian whatever that believes whatever and does whatever is convenient for me. And the answer, and I'm not tough on the American Christians, they are awesome people. But I did say that, but I want to say it also. Christians are the most amazing people in the world. They are. Because they have the Spirit of God in them. Walk in it. Walk in the Holy Spirit. And we can change our country, make it a better place. We can help our kids. We can reach out. We can do some things, whatever God has for us in the future. We can make an impact, and we can share love with people. People don't need religion. They need Christ. They don't need a form. They need the life of Christ. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, maybe something has touched our hearts today. We are the people of the Holy Spirit in this life. Forgive us the things that we have done and failed to do. You lead us in this new life where we think about grace, think about love, think about forgiving, think about caring. Use these words to help us and guide us. And then anyone here who hasn't started your Christian life, you say to Jesus in your heart, I really, really need you. Save me, Jesus. I accept you. I'm serious, Lord, as far as I can be. Help me, give me grace, save me by your grace. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.